September 20th. And as always, we're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'm going to ask Director Tran to lead us this evening in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please follow my lead. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Tran. Madam Clerk, if you will call the roll, please.
Roll call, Director Mezquia.
Present.
Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green. Director Meeks. Director Wynn. Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Sheldon. Director Tran. Director Whitaker.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
You do have a quorum with six directors present.
Great. Mr. Kennedy, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are not.
Great. Now's the time for visitor participation. If anyone from the public would like to address the board of directors at this time, looking around the room, seeing none, and I'm not seeing any hands raised online. Going once. Nope. Okay. That brings us to the consent calendar, which consists of items 1 through 22. What is the pleasure of the board on the consent
calendar? I would move approval.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, if you will call the roll, please.
Roll call, Director Mezquia.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Rowe.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Aye.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Okay. That motion carries with six yes votes, with Directors Green, Meeks, Wynn, and Sheldon absent.
Okay. The next item is item 23. Director Sheldon will be here in about 5 minutes, and it's his item, and plus we have a speaker. So what I'm going to do is hold off on that, and we'll go to item number 24, which is the PFAS update. Mr. Olson, good evening.
Good evening, Chair Bilodeau, members of the board. So we're doing our monthly PFAS update, second board meeting this time around. Let me start off like we usually do, showing the... Actually, let me start off by removing this. All right. So we're still at 61 wells. 30 are operational, 22 in construction, 9 in design. And looking at the schedule, I'm highlighting the fact that there's going to be several within the next couple months that are several more that are operational. That's for Anaheim, East Orange County, Fullerton. So that's Fullerton main plant. And this is East Orange County, the two wells at their one site. Golden State, I've got a one site, two wells. I'm pretty much going to be closing that project out. We're waiting on Golden State to finish some conveyance pipeline work. And then IRWD's OPA one well. So all these in the next couple months, towards the end of the year at the latest, will be operational. Wanting to point out some that are going to be a little bit longer that are still in design phase. And that's one well at Fullerton, one at Garden Grove, a new one at Golden State, and then two with the City of Orange. And we are very soon, like as in next week, going to be bidding one well for Santa Ana. And then there's going to be another package with two wells in about a month, month and a half after that for Santa Ana. So like I said, there's going to be a lot more operational by the end of the year. And in the next 6 to 7 months, we're going to be, you know, we're starting more construction and then seeing what happens from there. What I will focus on right now is looking at Anaheim. Phase A, where we have the eight wells at the four locations, La Palma sites operational, Linda Vista operational. So looking at energy field, they still have a lot of electrical work going on, above ground process piping. Similar with Boysen Park, electrical process piping. They're going to be doing some well rehab work there. And then those are planned on being operational end of the year, as I mentioned. Linda Vista site, that's the large treatment plant for the five wells around Anaheim Lake. They're still working on the operations building and rehab of a well or two of the five. And here's just a overhead view of that site. You can see it looks pretty complete. Just some of the interior work to be done on that control building, and then the pump rehab. And then they're going to be getting those other wells online and operational. So the whole thing is fully loaded with resin and operational by the end of this year. For their phase B, which is 6 wells at 5 sites, they're all in the construction phase. Focusing on some pictures here for the Santa Cruz site, this is where there's 2 wells and they have a treatment system in the middle between. They had the slab poured and you can see the vessels have been installed and the process piping and the vessel trees were installed also. Working on under slab utility work, and then they're going to be having those pump house buildings going up very soon over there. This is the Catella well site, similar situation, slab poured, vessels installed, interior electrical demoed, and then they're just going to continue working on the pipeline, the process piping work for this site. So just a brief, what's going on at Brookhurst, finished water line installation, well rehab. It's all kind of in a similar situation of sequencing. They started with 2 of them and they're working their way into the next 3, Brookhurst downtown, where they're working on transformer pad and the drain lines and all the interior electrical, and the similar situation for Willow Park, which is the last of the 5 sites that's just starting the excavation for the underslab pipe. But all of these are still planning on being operational by beginning of 2024, possibly end of this year. Over at Fullerton Main Plant, where it's the granular activated carbon for the 2 wells, 3A and 7A, I pulled out some of the slides since we went into some details on this last time, but just to show you a couple of those pictures of the tall blue GAC vessels over there, installed, water manifold line installed. Here's another shot of that process piping and conveyance piping, underground piping being installed. So this is still planning on being operational by the fall of this year. So probably about three months or so getting this site up and running. And then over at Tustin for the 4 wells, which is the centralized treatment plant and the pipeline, the most recent progress is, this is the main plant. We had the vessel slab poured, and you could see they had the vessels in the parking lot and the large crane lifting them over the wall onto the slab. So we got the first set done, and the next is going to happen over the next few weeks. And continue working on the pipeline, probably about a year left of construction for Tustin. And that concludes the update. I could take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Are there any questions? Kelly, go ahead.
Yeah, Chris, that Fullerton development is really impressive. It reminds me, Water Factory 21 had GAC. It was an innovation at the time, 50 years ago. It could handle like 7.5 MGD. What's the capacity of the Fullerton facility?
Oh, geez, I don't know, 1 million gallons per day. So there's the 2 wells, and they can do about 5,000 GPM total, 5,000 to 6,000 GPM in that range.
Yeah, that's about the same.
So yeah. Similar situation.
Right. Well, keep up the good work.
Sure.
Okay. And there are no questions online. So that was an informational item. And I will bring us back now to item number 23. Which is the consideration of a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Orange County Water District regarding implementation of Senate Bill 606 and Assembly Bill 1668, passed by the California Senate and Assembly in 2018. We have a member of the public that would like to address us, Mr. Ray Heimstra. Mr. Heimstra, you'll have 3 minutes. Welcome very much, sir. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair Bilodeau and directors. And my name is Ray Heimstra, and I'm with Orange County Coastkeeper. We really focus on water conservation and water quality a lot in our work. Currently, we're doing some work with the governor's office. We're talking to people every day. We're at events all the time talking about water conservation. And this is a completely non-controversial issue. Everybody supports conservation, and they want to hear how we can do more, how we can be more effective. And they realize that we don't have unlimited water. I also do a lot of public presentations, and I'm going to do another one tonight. And my opening statement is always Orange County is home to some of the best and some of the worst ideas in water in the country. And when I looked at this resolution, I mean, I literally laughed. I was just like, come on, how do you oppose water conservation? I mean, at the end, it says we're in opposition to the draft regulation for making conservation a way of life, just completely opposed. And that it's this unfunded state mandate that is unnecessary. So unnecessary? I mean, like I said, this is really, I mean, if you send this in like this, they're just going to laugh at you. So it's time for somebody to do their homework and get out of the 1950s attitude of, you know, we're supposed to have somehow unlimited water. Everybody knows that even though we're out of technically of a drought right now, we got lean times coming. We're already making some progress on water conservation. We got a long ways to go. So our question is, what does OCWD have against water conservation? And, you know, this whole thing just really doesn't make sense. I mean, you don't invest in GWRS and all those other great things that we talk about so that you can waste more water. There was a lot of talk about water independence in the past. We want to get away from imported water. Conservation is a great way to do that. We have GWRS, we have our groundwater. We're still importing other water, and conservation is a way to eliminate that. So that's it for now. So I would ask you to go back and redo this, do your homework. And I talked to other water districts too. This isn't a perfect regulation, but come up with an actual solution rather than just throw the whole thing out. It's unnecessary. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Director Sheldon, why don't I give you the floor on this?
Thank you. Mr.
Acting President, appreciate that.
Is my mic on? That's about it. Thank you, Mr. President. I believe we all have a updated copy of the resolution. And for me, this encompasses all of the hundreds of millions of dollars that we've spent toward water conservation, and it encompasses the decades of work that the district has done toward the Water Factory 21 and the groundwater replenishment. And it encompasses the reasonable needs of families and all people in our district that need water to survive and deserve that we do our very best to provide them that abundant water supply. It encompasses that the state really hasn't done a good job in managing our natural resources and managing our water supply and producing water for our constituents. And it encompasses that we need to be looking at not just, again, for ourselves, but those that are, or are including ourselves, rather, that are not able and have disposable income to pay for the higher rates that are likely to come from this state regulation. And as an insult to injury will be the less available water with the higher rates. So I'm just sort of kind of going through what I feel is encompassed into all the history of the Orange County Water District and the hard work that we've done to conserve water. We believe in water conservation. I think we have probably one of the best records than any other county in the state of California or any other district in the nation or in the world as to what we've done on this and all the hard work that we put into it. So I'm very proud of those things, and those are all encompassed in this, that we go to the State Water Board and say this is not necessary because we still have a lot more work left to do. We just can't say quit when we haven't really done everything that can be done to create a strong water supply for our constituents. There's a lot more water that we can provide that humans need for their daily life, for their washing their dishes, for washing their diapers, for washing their dog, for taking care of their lawn, for their standard of living. that we are in our in this nation. And I strongly feel that this, that, you know, there's the human right to water that the state has declared, and this follows that. So those are just some of my thoughts, and I'm sure we'll have some other commentary, but that's what's encompassed in this resolution that we propose to send to the State Water Board.
And this resolution will be submitted to the State Board, as there's a public comment period open currently, right, for the implementation of these, of this law?
Yeah, I believe they're taking comment on October the 4th.
Okay.
There's a public comment open, and there's, I think, a public comment via Zoom or in person on October the 4th.
Okay.
Thank you. Our intent is to provide it at that time.
Thank you very much. Director Whitaker.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Acting President. You know, in this mega state of California, so diverse in so many ways, there's so much distance between points, geography, demographically, economically, very diverse, that I have to echo a line in here which talks about one-size-fits-all regulations, which in a state like California with that level of diversity, by definition, is wrong, any one-size-fits-all regulation or policy. This this legislative body that we have and the administration that we have in Sacramento right now are very fond of one-size-fits-all policies, rules, and laws. And so by definition, my way of thinking, it's completely wrong in so many different areas through our state. This is more akin to saying, because we have shortages in some areas of the state, everyone should share in the misery, regardless of what resources that they have available. Here in Orange County, this agency has made huge investments in getting reuse out of water. We take water that was previously used wastewater through GWRS, and now GWRS is supplying 40% of our total demand. So to put us on the same scale and to try to penalize an agency like OCWD and the residents of Orange County that have dug deeply into their pockets to make this possible is just absolutely wrong. I couldn't agree more with the idea of us forwarding this as it exists right now, Mr. President. So thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much. Director Rowe.
Yes, I've looked over the proposed regulations, and I'm frankly very impressed by how detailed the State Board staff came to regulate or come up with these conditions and the per capita water or use per day. It's in line with, I think, what a lot of people in the state are doing, but there are still plenty of people, like a neighbor across the street I keep on referring to. She waters her lawn like every other day in the middle of the morning, and it drives me crazy. So she's been there for 20 years. She's not going to change. But I think we need to have local control over this. The state has these as guidelines or standards for water consumption for urban use. I think it's great that they have finally come up with this. Should have done like 10, 15 years ago. And I agree with, I'd say, all of this resolution that we have some points to make, that we've devoted a lot of our energies in trying to reduce water waste and have this great program here with little support from the federal government, a lot of state help. But let's change the fining until sometime in the future when it's more desperate for drought conditions here. When we have times of abundance, I don't see why we need to necessarily restrict people from water use to enjoy it, because we have an abundance. When it's tight, then we need to all stiffen up. All right, that's all my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll just say that one of the objectives of this bill that may go into law is, or actually the bill was passed, but they're going to restrict water usage to 42 gallons per day per person, or else there'll be fines assessed. And to me, that's just Orwellian. I don't think that's necessary. And I think the state is way overreaching in getting that precise in trying to regulate how people live in California. So I will support the resolution. And I thank Director Sheldon for bringing this forward. Is there
any other further director comments?
I see no other comments. Is there any online?
Okay. I would just say, yeah, this is Director Mespla. I would just say thank you, Director Sheldon. I also will be supporting this item.
I'll move that we adopt the resolution for presentation.
I'll second.
On October 4th.
Okay. Director Yeo.
Oh, yeah. I just want to echo the same comments that many of you have made, that this one-size-fits-all approach is not going to work for Orange County. And I appreciate Mr. Hemstra's comments that, yes, we all need to do our part, but, you know, there needs to be some flexibility in the state legislation. So we need to voice our opinion that we in Orange County have done a lot. We have invested a lot. And this, what they're trying to do from Sacramento is going to have undue impact on our residents. And so I am supportive of this resolution that Director Sheldon has brought up. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
I want to add that we would, in addition to communicating to the State Water Board, we would communicate with our local cities and county as to this and providing this information and seeing their desire and wanting to join our efforts.
Great. Okay. So with that, we have a motion and a second on the floor. If Madam Clerk, if you'll call the roll, please.
Roll call, Director Mezqua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 7 yes votes, with Directors Green, Meeks, and Nguyen absent.
Thank you. That brings us to item number 25, which is the four-way operations update.
Mr. Director President Bilodeau, if I may just add, I wanted to thank Director Rowe for assisting with the drafting of the resolution and being a part of it and making contributions to it as well. So thank you for that.
Oh, great. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
So, absolutely. Mr. President, for item 25, four-way operations update, we had a large storm hit us over Labor Day weekend. And we've asked Ben Smith to come down and talk about what happened up to Four Bay.
It rained tomorrow.
Good. We're ready.
Let's see, where's my share? Okay, good evening. The board may remember I was here in May and I put you to sleep with too much detail. I'm going to try to keep it simpler this time. So yes, this is a picture after Tropical Storm Hilary came through Southern California. In this picture, this is Burris Basin on the right. The river is there on the left. That's 300 CFS going into Burris Basin on August 25th. So before Hilary came through, we were in typical summer mode. Other than we had a wet winter, we didn't get Prado drained until June. So what that means is then once that happens, our basins are all full. So we have to get them empty and get them cleaned before rainy season starts again. So mid-August, we were cleaning. That picture on the top is Anaheim Lake, where we started a cleaning. As some of our basins, when we take the water out of them, we have a fish population that needs to be dealt with. So this picture on the bottom left is some staff cleaning the fish out of the basin. We were performing facility maintenance and we were dreaming of winter rains to come. So this slide has a lot of text, but basically I wanted to lay out the week as I experienced it coming into Tropical Storm Hilary. Hilary rained on Sunday. So on that Monday before, NOAA, the National Weather Service, that's where we focus a lot of our forecasting from. Monday, there was no communication about rain. Tuesday, they said, yeah, there's this hurricane down by Mexico. We don't know how close it's going to come to Southern California. There's some potential for rain this weekend. Wednesday, yeah, possible remnant tropical storm Hilary moisture coming this weekend. Thursday afternoon, it ratcheted up a little bit. Uncertainty remains, but it could be a high impact. Flood watch is in effect, and they were really focused on the wind of the storm coming. Friday was like, this is serious. The Army Corps put out a notice. They were predicting the conservation pool might be full. They're talking about possible high releases. High release meaning a release we can't capture in the recharge area. NOAA was saying the tropical storm watch for the coast and inland areas, first issuance they know of for Southern California. Flood watch issued, rainfall trending heavier. Saturday, they basically repeated the same forecast, and then it rained on Sunday. And as we know, Hillary didn't turn out like red text. It was more like an orange text. But I wanted to give some data. Before Hillary, our storage at field headquarters was about half full, 13,200 acre feet. Again, that was kind of high for this time of year, but that's because we were still dealing with the wet winter. Average rainfall in August in Anaheim is 0.1 inches, so we were at 10%, and there was no storage at Prado. So Hillary rained on the 20th. The Prado pool then peaked on the 22nd. So in our local storage, we picked up 350 acre feet, and that goes to the credit of the recharge staff. The operators we have, they basically work around the clock to capture the local rainfall that comes in below Prado Dam. So 350 acre feet is not a huge number, but if you put a dollar value to that, you know, that's $300,000 of water they capture by working around the clock during the storm. Rainfall wise, we jumped to 2.59 inches. So, you know, an astronomical percentage compared to 0.1 inches. And Prado Dam peaked at 10,555 acre feet. It took us 19 days to get Prado empty. That was last weekend. We reached that milestone. So that storage comes down to us. You see our storage only increased about 6,000 acre feet. Well, where'd the other 4,000 go? It was percolated. So as we're bringing the water down, we're percolating it. So right now, we're about three quarters full on our storage, and we're working again towards draining that, percolating it down so that we can try to clean some of these basins.
Hey, Ben, hold on a second. So the 10,555 acre feet we captured, that's enough water for the city of Westminster for a whole year, to give it some perspective. So we got Westminster covered this year.
So about half of the, I also want to add, that's about half of the Prado conservation pool. So in the Prado watershed, we got about half out of what was being forecast from Tropical Storm Hillary. This is just a graphic of average rainfall in our area. This red thing is Prado Dam, and I roughly sketched in there the drainage area to Prado. And I added this dashed line. All this eastern part drains to Lake Elsinore. If Lake Elsinore ever spilled, it would come to Prado, but that's very rare. So what are these purple shades? An average August, you know, 0.1 inch, maybe 0.8 above Rancho Cucamonga, 0.7 at Big Bear. So what did it actually turn out this August? You know, much brighter colors, 2.6 in Anaheim, 2 in Riverside, 10 up there, and 3.4 at Big Bear. So what did that impact to our operations? Well, on Thursday, we were cleaning fish out of Anaheim Lake. On Friday, we were starting to put water into Anaheim Lake so that we could capture as much out of that storm as we could. So we couldn't finish cleaning Anaheim Lake. Upper and lower Five Coves and Lincoln Basins were completely dry. Now they're full. The off-river cleaning has been postponed as well. So we're running into a possibility of not being able to clean all of our facilities depending when the next rain event comes. And we had to rapidly shift our strategy from cleaning to drain Prado as fast as we can, because we never know when that next storm is coming. So this is obviously loaded with a lot of numbers. These are the major storage basins we have. Warner system, we basically keep full year round to support the fishing concession that's there. Anaheim Lake, you can see we're almost empty again, 8%. So we are starting to clean that this week. We can clean the sides. It's going to take a couple weeks to dry the floor and get rid of the seepage in order to clean the floor of Anaheim Lake. The river, we have gone into our summer/fall mode where we channelize the river into about a third of its wet area. That's an effort we do to reduce the amount of nuisance fly, like a midge fly or mayfly reproduction cycle. So we can reduce the area they can reproduce, helps the residential neighborhoods nearby. So again, we're about 3/4 full our storage right now. So with that, I can answer any questions.
Director Rowe.
Yes, Ben, thanks for the presentation. And this is what was referred to in the agenda as the Four Bay Operations Update?
Correct.
Okay, I would like to have seen this in the package, but at least I didn't have it in the version I downloaded. I saw the collection of fish in the bottom of the basin, and it just made me recall 20 years ago, we had a big fish death in our recharge basins because of it, water rushing through the Chino with a lot of cow manure, and it took out all the oxygen, killed a lot of fish. And we had a conveyor belt kind of set up to remove fish from the basins. Do we still have that conveyor belt?
We do. When we are expecting a larger amount of fish to deal with, we set up the conveyor. In this instance, it was very small chad.
Uh-huh.
It didn't require the conveyor belt.
I went to the FURO conference down in La Jolla in July, and I met some people associated with NOAA's California, Nevada River Forecast Center. And it's their responsibility to kind of project what the rivers are going to be flowing like in the California, Nevada, as their name implies. I think it's good for us to be looking at their forecast rather than just the NOAA, you know, standard, what it is. The Forecast Center for Rivers is probably more important for us to look at. I think they're on top. I met some of the people who are involved, the engineers who are doing the analysis.
Yeah, that's when I wake up in the morning, I look at NOAA and the river forecast before I get out of bed. So we are looking at that every day.
Okay, thank you.
Eat, sleep, drink water.
Director Whitaker.
Yes. Had a question. You showed that our storage right now is about 75% full.
Correct.
What would the comparable number be for the same time last year?
Oh, good question. I had looked that up. 30% was where we were at this time last year.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Acting President. I just wanted to thank you and your staff for all the hard work. You'd mentioned that some had spent worked 24/7. To accommodate all the effort that was required. Thank you for stepping up and doing that. I'm sure the entire board greatly appreciates it. The entire district does.
Yeah, we have a great few individuals. Every time it rains, they end up working through the night. So, yes.
Great. No hands online. So, Ben, thank you very much for the presentation. That'll bring us to item number 26, which is the SAPA Commission Activities Report. Director Whitaker and Rowe.
Yes, at yesterday morning's SAPA Commission meeting, we received a thorough legislative report from West Coast Advisors. But the primary item that we discussed was the upcoming first year trial period for ground-based cloud seeding. And since that was Director Rowe's brainchild, I'd like him to convey what we discussed at that.
Well, Rachel Gray is the new Mark Norton, Water Resources Manager with SAPA, and she was overlapping a lot of work with Mark in his last period there. And she did an excellent presentation to the commission on the program. I think she'll do an excellent job in managing this program. I talked with her at length about what the plans are in moving forward. I think everything's kind of lined up and she feels confident about it. I'm confident about her being confident. I'm going to be, you know, kind of monitoring what's going on because I know I have an interest in this as being the champion for this thing and looking forward to it being successful. So any other questions?
One last addendum to that as well. You know, when this was first discussed, I didn't know much about ground-based cloud seeding, and there was a lot of concern about whether or not it would be successful at all. But now since last year's rainy season that we had, people are afraid that it may be too successful, and they're concerned about liability for amplifying flood conditions or something like that. Right. So what a change in attitude. Now there's not much doubt about this having some effect, but the ability to accurately measure the effect, it's going to take some doing, and they have some really good plans to do that.
Right. I pointed out to the commissioners who were asking about potential liability is that we're only going to be doing it when it's okay to do so. The total operation is going to be 20 to 60 hours per season for each one of the facilities. So it's really a fairly small impact to the environment, and we shouldn't have any liability associated with it. Nobody has been able to prove liability with other programs, which is an important thing. So thank you.
Great. Thank you for that report. Number 27 is the water resources summary, which I see is contained in the packet. Are there any questions about it for the staff? Hearing none, that brings us to the committee conference meetings reports. The communication and ledge liaison committee, the meeting minutes are actually in the packet. The water issues committee, Chairman Whitaker.
Contained in the packet.
And the admin and finance committee, Chairman Yeo.
It is contained in tonight's packet.
Great. Or anybody want to make a report on a committee conference or meeting attended at district expense at which a quorum of the board was present? Sure. Hearing none. Verbal reports, president's report. Director Green is representing us well in Washington, D.C. this evening. And as for me, my spouse has joined me here tonight. And there you go. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to announce we moved our daughter into UCLA this afternoon. So that's why I'm rather casually dressed. So had to come straight here.
Working
today, yes. that'll bring us to the general manager's report.
There's nothing to report. The general manager is flying back with President Green today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great. Director's reports. Or announcements? Any director's reports? Hearing none. General counsel report.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have three closed sessions this evening. First is a closed session for a conference of labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6 with OCW's designated representative, Ms. Dozier, and the employee organization, OCEA. We have two conference legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Section 54956.9A of the Government Code, one in the case of OCWD versus Sabic Innovative Plastics and the other in OCWD versus 3M et al. With that, recommend recess to closed session.
Yes, we've returned from closed session for conference labor negotiators and on two closed sessions related to pending litigation, and there are no reportable items from the closed session.
Right. And with that, the meeting is adjourned.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Roger.